There's the reason and there's the real reason. Even with couples fighting over the toothpaste or the toilet seats, there's really other issues involved. Okay? There's other issues. That anger about the toothpaste or the toilet seat, that's another emotion. There's other things going on that we need to take a look at. So two basic emotions. They're about fear and love. If you want to break down the emotions, there's two basic emotions. They say they're derivatives. So fear can be anger, anxiety, sadness, depression, shame, guilt. That's all a form of fear. As you mentioned, anger, that's again, sometimes when we're scared, we get mad. When you surprise somebody, you're playing a joke and you jump out of the closet and you surprise them, what do a lot of people do? They get mad. They get mad because it's a form of fear. Love could be happiness, joy, compassion, satisfaction. All those come into play. Different emotions. So my goal here is to help you, before we get into the deception part, to understand emotions. So when someone is angry, what do you do? When they're indifferent, what do you do? When they're sad, what do you do? When they're depressed, what can you do? So those are the two, fear and love. All right. So let's talk about, are we good? Emotions and persuasion? Okay. So emotions trigger persuasion. What is this, something that could be greed that could trigger someone to be persuaded? The last one left, would that trigger someone to buy something? Or the after Thanksgiving sale? What about dignity? What could you buy, what could you trigger emotion to be persuaded out of dignity? Or esteem? Could it be the clothes you wear? Prestige, the car you drive, the country club you belong to. If that's true. Love. Do you send your children out of, maybe to college out of love? Could that be considered an emotion that could trigger persuasion? Guilt. What could you do for guilt? Do people go to Disneyland out of guilt? You say yes. Spend more time with your kids. Going on a vacation. That could be out of guilt. What about fear? What do we buy out of fear? Insurance. Definitely. Insurance. What's that? Gun? Oh, guns. Sure. Okay, gun. Affiliation. To be part of a group. Name brand. Watch you wear. Independence. What could you purchase to want independence? Maybe your own home, your own apartment. This is what the military hits on. You're 18 years old, now you get your own independence. That's what they hit. You know, be away from home, to the world, be your own person. They harp on that quite a bit. Then there's emotional avoidance. You'll see people like this, and especially in foreclosures and people doing with real estate. In the middle of page 29. They won't talk about their feelings. They'll pretend they don't happen. Overeating would be a sign of emotional avoidance. Drugs, alcohol, TV, anything to get them out of reality. It's a sign of emotional avoidance. Lack of ambition. Working all the time. Quick to anger. Uncomfortable face, depression. Because if we bury our emotions, or someone in foreclosure is burying their emotions, what's going to happen? Do you bury your emotions and never deal with them, or sometimes you have to deal with them? You have to come with it sometime. These are all signs. Drug use, TV, watching 4 or 5 hours of TV a night would be a sign. Something else going on. So it's emotional mastery. Get that? Good? To master emotions, whether you're working with somebody or yourself, you have to acknowledge it. All right, there's an emotion. I need to learn to trust it. What is it telling me? I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling resentful. I'm feeling frustrated. Identify it. Okay, this feels like anger. This feels like resentment. Don't ignore it. What's the message? And learn to take action. So your goal is to get them into the right emotional state. What state do you want to get them into? or some emotions. We're going to talk a little bit later about mood. Some emotions are easier to persuade than others. Get them into rapport. What emotional state do you want them in? And you have to get yourself in that state. You want them to be logical and rational. You need to be logical and rational. You don't want them to be angry. You can't be angry. So I want to go over some of the individual emotions. It's going to be powerful stuff. When nervous is really important. Wow. Okay, when people are frustrated, what should you do? When people are angry, what should you do? So there's happiness. Are people easier to persuade when they're happy? You bet. Alright, happiness. Why is it that, on average, adults smile or laugh 6 times a day, and 2 and 3 year olds laugh about 300 times a day, laugh or smile? They're free. You ever see the movie Patch Adams? What was the therapy? Laughter. We did the smile exercise yesterday. There's just something powerful about being, have happiness. So it's a state of balance. But the challenge is, how does society define happiness? We've heard that money makes you more of what you already are. Why aren't we happy? The number one reason we're not happy. Okay, we haven't decided to. Don't feel effective. Okay, aren't. Here are the big reasons. Part of it's expectations. We want it fast. But sometimes when we have lack of purpose, when we have no goals, you think of the happiest time in your life, you had a goal, you were pursuing it, you were going after. We need that as human beings. Because the reality is, if you look at the world, you're either working for somebody else's goals, or you're working for your own. And why people really hate working for large corporations, and they're not doing anything on their own, they're just a piece in this large corporation. And another piece of happiness, too, is conflicting goals. Right now in your brain, you have conflicting goals. You know, one in my life. I want to be a great father. I want to be there for all the sporting events. I'm missing a soccer game right now. I want to be there for the family. I want to take the children every night. I want to be a great dad. But on the other hand, I love to train. I love to talk about persuasion. I love to keep this negotiation. I need to have a successful business. To those clash. They can't. Now, 90% of the battle is realizing that it's causing unhappy. Most people, they're unhappy. They don't know why. And that's why it's this conflicting goal. Do I have a perfect solution? No. But I understand that that's caused tension in my life. We make up in the summertime, taking time off and doing some other things. But you need that. What are some other conflicting goals you could have going on in your brain right now? Yeah. Spending money to make money. That could be a conflicting goal. What else? Being here. That's a tough one. You're sharpening the saw instead of out there cutting down the trees. That's tough. We need to do that. That's true, it's true. Well, we don't have enough sales for sales training. Oh, wait a minute. How do you do that? Sure. So you're being away from the family now, so in the long run you can be with the family more. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, definitely. So happiness is an interesting one. That's the state you want to get them in. Next one. Ingrid Bergman said, happiness is good health and a bad memory. What does that mean? Your own story, your own history? Yeah, I think it was Buddy Hackett that said something like, I quit getting angry at people because I'm at home mad and they're out dancing. So if people have wronged you, we like to be resentful. We're mad at them. I was talking to one of my neighbors, said, I haven't talked to them for 10 years, but they did this and this and that. Didn't they? Let's go talk. So I grabbed her, she was good. I pulled her along. I said, hey, how you doing? You're a new neighbor. I just moved in. And she said, you know what? 10 years ago when you did this and this, it's made me mad, that's why I haven't talked to you. Guess what he said? I did? Wow, I'm sorry. 10 years! 10 years! You don't have time. Being mad and angry or resentful at someone is like trying to drink poison and hoping it hurts your enemy. Put it in perspective. They wronged us. A, they probably didn't mean to. And if they did mean to, the worst thing you could do is give them what they wanted. Your anger, your resentment. Something to think about. We talked about no sense of control, meaningful goals, and conflicting goals. Those are the big ones why we aren't happy. This is what I love. Who's Viktor Frankl? Man's Search for Meaning. He was a psychiatrist that was in the Jewish concentration camp. And he realized the only thing they couldn't take away from him was what? His attitude, his thoughts. And he says, happiness is a condition rather than a destination. Happiness cannot be pursued. The more we aim at happiness, the more we miss our aim. It is a side effect of having a purpose and meaning to life. Repeat that? The side effect of having a purpose and meaning to life. So that is a great state to persuade in. We've talked a little bit about worry. When someone's worried, we already talked a little about this, when they're worried, what do you need to work on? Change their belief system, seeing the future, getting out of the past, helping them in their mind see themselves that they can do it. Worries are occurring now in the future, or they're anxious, they're uneasy, they're concerned. Your job is to substitute a negative image for a positive image. That is your job as a persuader. Negative image for a positive image. Worry is a state of fear. The form of fear. So two things you can do. You substitute that negative image for a positive image. Give them hope. And understand that worry is caused by indecision. You think about it. So you're camping, and you're on this rock, and you're going to jump off into the lake, and it's about 30 feet. The more you think about it, the more you worry about it, the more you think of all the bad things that are going to happen, what could happen, the more what you fear. The more worried you get, the more fear you have. Isn't that true? So if they're stuck in worry, the best thing you can do is get them to make a decision, even if it's a small decision. Worry is caused by indecision. The moment they make a decision, the worry is going to go away. Bring them back to reality. Bring them back to reality. What is the worst case scenario? Get them past that. So the two things. Substitute that negative image for a positive image and get them to make a decision. Even if it's a minor thing. Like go to lunch or some other things. Get them to start making decisions and the worry will go away. Diminishes with decision. It was tough because that was polluting your vision. Then you said, well, what about this? And it was just like a downward spiral. Better give her a hug for that, right? Okay. And that's the thing. that's what's so important. That's what you're able to do. That's keeping your eye there and getting you to make decisions, just keep you going. Definitely. Don't write this down. I'm just going to read it to you. Okay. All negative emotions are ultimately manifested as anger, either inwardly directed or outwardly expressed. We cannot suffer negative emotions unless we can justify ourselves that we are entitled to them, unless we identify with them personally. Here's the important part. We experience negative emotions when we blame someone or something else for a situation that we find unsatisfactory. The instant we stop blaming, our negative emotions stop. When you can say, I am responsible, you can get control over your thoughts, emotions, and your destiny. Interesting. So let's talk about anger. People are mad. They're broadcasting to you. They're transferring to you. They're attempting to control or dominate. Maybe they were wrongly accused. More space, a physical or physiological threat. Anger is very addicting. It's the one we're worse at controlling. And anger is a lot of fun sometimes. Isn't it? To get really mad. We're going to show them one of those things. But when people are angry, they're very difficult to persuade. Sometimes you just need to hear them out. Change of scenery, we'll talk about. And it's kind of good. It's kind of fun sometimes. Be angry. Where we have emotional control, especially in a negotiation situation, we're not going to have that anger. All right, good? Okay. The secondary emotion means something's wrong, something's askew, something's not quite right in their world. One thing you can do is ask for help. Ask for their advice. Can you help me here? Can you help clarify this? Try to get to more of a little logical conversation or some type of diversion. What is the key issue? They're feeling overwhelmed. Things are out of control. They're blaming somebody. Get them back. Find out what's going on. Well, just to understand, It's a secondary emotion. What they're angry about, what they're yelling at you about, is not what's really wrong. So first of all, we're not taking it personally. There's something else happening. And our job is to find out what it is. What's askew? In doing that, we can ask for their help. Remember, apologies are cheap. Some type of diversion. Walk, go outside, take a few minutes. Anything like that will work. Change the scenery. Okay, next one. Frustration. Now, this is a very important one to understand. You ever had somebody you were talking to and they were frustrated? Frustrations come from unmet expectation. When you're frustrated with someone or they're frustrated with you, some expectation was not met. Now your whole world's going to change. Now you know what that means. So if they're feeling frustrated, you need to find what? What was that expectation you didn't meet? You're frustrated with your children? There's some expectation you had they probably didn't know about that you didn't meet. So they're feeling that you could have done better. You're at a restaurant. You're frustrated with the service or the time it took to get your meal. And then that expectation. Now, let's talk about this. If a restaurant blows it, what do you want? An explanation and make it right. The worst thing you can do for your frustration is, oh, that's how it is. That's fine. Isn't it? Isn't that the worst thing they can do? Oh, it's just part of it. Or, well, oh, it's just part of life. I had to do that once. I was leaving Salt Lake City. I think I was going to Gainesville, Florida. The plane was starting to rev up and take off, and then it goes, boom! And the engine caught on fire right before we were taking off. Wow. Fire trucks, the whole thing. So I couldn't go. I was going to Atlanta, but I went to Cincinnati, missed a flight there, got late there, late. Missed the flight, had to drive from Orlando to Gainesville. They've lost my luggage, kind of mad. I call it my Delta day from hell. But anyway, it was just a mess. And I was mad, and so I wrote a letter. I emailed it, I faxed it, and I wrote a regular letter. Because I was mad. I'm pretty loyal. I'm pretty loyal to them. And so I said, wait, this is unacceptable. The first letter came back, said, sorry, Mr. Mortensen, that's just part of flying. Did that help or make it worse? That made it worse. And then the second thing came. About 2 days later, I got this UPS package from Delta, a gift. It was a Delta clock. Now, I don't know what moron picked that one out, but every time I look at this Delta clock, what am I thinking of? How late they were. All the time I lost. And then the third, I got another letter in the mail with about $500 in free vouchers to fly back in Delta. We apologize. We're sorry. Here's our gift to you. We appreciate your loyalty. Now, I wish I knew which one was the email and the fax, but one made me more upset, one made me scratch my head, and one made me happy. So you just have to be very, very careful with frustration. So you need to change their expectations or adjust their expectations or maintain their expectations when they're feeling frustrated. Okay? Well, when someone's sad, what's that come from? Loss, be a job or a loved one, they're sad. When people are sad, their home's going in foreclosure, what do they want? The main thing they want, they don't need a lecture, they just want what? They just want to be, listen. Empathy, sympathy, being understood is what they're looking for. Then there's depression. You'll see this in foreclosure, that's why I'm bringing it up. You don't talk about it. It's self-destruction. It's all over. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Nobody loves me. There's emotional collapse, and they're looking for compassion. There's no energy, and there's very little deception in this stage. They've given up. So if you have foreclosure and someone's depressed, you can tell when we get into deception, there's very little deception here. They're just going to lay the cards on the table. This is what's happening. There's very little blame. They've taken it on themselves. Then resentment. We talked about sentir. It's a refeel, the rehash. It's a refeeling. What is the cause? What emotions are they replaying in their mind over and over and over again? Resentment. So if they have resentment towards you or to your company or things that have happened, they're replaying that event. They're re-feeling it. When they have resentment towards someone who did something 10 years ago, when they think about that resentment, they're just replaying it, how it made them feel, how it made them feel. You need to change that. What is the cause? one-on-one and get them to take responsibility. Let's talk about fear. Is it okay to use fear to persuade? Sometimes it is. So let's talk about the right formula. It's not our only tool in our persuasion toolbox. It's one of the 120. Let's talk about it. Some say it's false expectations appearing real. You don't need to write this down. Some say forget everything and run. And some say frozen energy actions required. That's what I like to say. So let's talk about fear. It's an unpleasant feeling. When someone's really afraid of something, what's the best thing they can do? What's the best way to get rid of your fear of getting on the phone and talking to people? Do it. Just do it. Just do it. I'm not talking about psychosis here. I'm just talking about general fear. So remember, I've written this one down, anxiety or tension caused by danger or apprehension. That's fear. What's replaying? You take children that are definitely afraid of dogs. Now, is that something they were born with or something they learned? They learned it. So the best thing you can do is show them videotapes of other children playing with dogs. Then you show them other children playing with dogs, and it's much easier for them to go out and play with dogs. So fear reminds us it's a good emotion at times to stay alert, to pay attention. You're walking in the woods and you see a stick that looks like a snake. What happens? It's an automatic thing. It can be a good thing. Fear can really help you out. You're afraid of the dentist. You're afraid of the dentist. You're afraid of the dentist. You don't go. You don't go. You have toothpaste. You finally go and you finally say what? You got cavities. You're afraid to get it filled. And hopefully we all say, well, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. It says, the most effective motivation I've ever read, it's a scrapbook filled with the orthodontist bills, student loan bills, insurance bills, credit card bills, and day card bills. Fear. That's what he used to motivate himself. So, fear comes from a variety of different sources. Society, experience, parents, worry. And remember, hesitation magnifies fear. So we have all these fears we learn. Review, what are the two fears we're born with? Falling and loud noises. So all these fears, they've been learned. So the fears that you're dealing with, they have learned them, and we've picked them up. So overcoming fear. What are the triggers? Why do you have this fear of dogs, of snakes, of success, of money, of public speaking? Where do they come from? Learn to control the voices. That voice in your head keeps coming up. And time to look fear in the face. And for most people, it's just getting out there and changing the scenery, getting out there and doing something and facing the fear. So your personal fears of being rejected on the phone or knocking on that foreclosure door, getting out there and doing it, it's just a matter of getting out there. If you're working with somebody else, let me give you the formula. Right there at the bottom of page 30. Eleanor Roosevelt said, you gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You must do the thing you think you cannot do. All right, here we go. Here's the formula. Number one, if you're going to use fear, it needs to be unpleasant. Something that really bothers them. If you have a teenager, well, you're going to get D's in all your classes. If that's not unpleasant to them, it's not going to work. Oh, sorry. Is it imminent? What does that mean? If I try to get you scared of the next asteroid that hits the Earth, you're thinking what? When is that? That's not imminent. That doesn't do anything for you. That's why many teenagers, when they start smoking, what's not imminent? Death, cancer. That's down the road. They'll have a cure by then. They've got to die of something anyway. This another form of dissonance. And you're not just creating fear for fun. You have to provide a solution. What's the solution? Which would be your product. And then the big one that people miss is, do they feel capable of doing what you're asking them to do? Let's go through a foreclosure here. What's going to be unpleasant if their home goes into foreclosure? What's going to happen? If they move, destroy their credit, they're going to get kicked out, no place to live, they can't take care of their family. Is it imminent? Yeah, we're 2 weeks away. Do you have a solution? You have a solution. Now, here's where we run into the barrier. You asking them to do this. What are some things you could ask them for that you need that they might not feel capable of doing? Think of anything? Yeah. Moving out? getting the idea. You tell them to go get the document from the bank to do this. Maybe they don't understand what that means. Maybe you should do it for them. Does that make sense? They need to feel capable. Don't assume that they are capable. Make sure they feel capable of doing that. Fear. Questions on fear. All right.